Well, thank you very much for the nice introduction. My name is Paul Yuknovich. Unfortunately for me, my alias at Microsoft is Paul Yuck, so that's a pretty easy way to remember me. I'm very happy to be with you here today. My team is actually the engineering team that works on the Visual Studio tools for all of the platform designers you could kind of think of. So that includes SharePoint, that includes Office, that includes the SQL and kind of the database designers, and things around that that really support building a line of business application or a professional development application. So again, thank you very much. Happy to be with you today. Today, I want to build on what Mathun and Mark talked about and go a little bit deeper into the tools side of the overview. So as a developer, what tools are really going to help you build a SharePoint 2010 application, deploy it, and kind of go through the whole life cycle. So that's what I'm going to focus on today. I probably missed the very beginning, so I probably didn't do the get to know you part and hear all the questions that was asked before. So can you help me understand who's doing SharePoint development of any kind today? Wow, that's great. That's a lot. Who's checked out development on SharePoint 2010? Okay, still a good number of folks. And using Visual Studio 2010? All right, fantastic. Who's also doing web development? Okay, Silverlight development. All right, interesting. Great, well, that gives me a good overview. I think you're in the right place, and me too. So let me pop forward. So when we set out to build the tools for SharePoint Visual Studio 2010, we had a few things in mind. One is we want you to be as productive as possible with the skills that you already have. And I saw a lot of hands raised saying, hey, I do web development today. I know some things about SharePoint. We want to make sure that, you know, what you already know about web development just completely translated to the SharePoint development experience. And so there's a number of things that we did. You know, we kind of went through all of the basics, creating applications, getting started, building, editing code, getting IntelliSense, hitting F5, doing the whole debugging thing, testing, deploying, iterative testing, everything. We wanted to make sure that that entire kind of end-to-end experience for you was good. And so we really just, you know, we worked on the basics of a familiar VS developer experience with SharePoint. And, you know, for those of you who spent more time with SharePoint, you'll realize, okay, it's SharePoint is an ASP.NET web app, but it's a pretty interesting web app, right? And there's some different concepts at play, like they use a content database, and it's a little bit different. So we had fun kind of building a tool set that brought what you know about web development and translating that to SharePoint. Second thing is, you know, our job in life in Visual Studio is to have the best tool for the platform, make sure you can really use the platform. And I think you got a great overview in the last hour or so about what are the capabilities. So if it's, you know, taking advantage of sandbox solution to kind of protect the reliability of your machine, using BCS to bring external data in to your application, using workflows, event receivers. We just want to make sure that you have first-class access to all aspects of the SharePoint platform. And so there's a number of things that we did there to kind of elevate that and make it easy. Now, in Visual Studio, you know, we see a platform feature. We like to have designers, and we like to have project templates. That's just kind of what we do. So we built a few of those. All right, makes sense so far? A few other things. You know, we looked at what would be kind of the best development paradigm for you guys, and, you know, to make sure you have a good experience. And for this first, you know, really good version, we really focused on doing development on your local machine. Okay, and just to be crystal clear, I heard Mark say it, but I'll say it to you too as the product team guy. You're going to have the best experience and the supported experience by installing Visual Studio 2010 and SharePoint 2010 on your development machine. Right, and just, you know, one thing to think about, you must use a 64-bit OS. I think I just heard some questions like, hey, what about 32-bit? Could I kind of try to make things work? Could I hack my way around it? I just wouldn't do it. It really falls down pretty quick. So you just must use 64-bit. You'll have the best experience. One thing that we did do is we recognized that, you know, installing on a 64-bit OS, okay, that's, you know, that's a little bit of a hurdle. Requiring you to install on a Windows server, that's a pretty big hurdle, I think, for developers. So what we did is we enabled Windows 7 client support, right, so that you can actually install on that client desktop OS. You can install Foundation, you can install Server, and then the tools can completely run end-to-end on the Windows 7 client. And that's actually entirely what I'm going to show you today. We'll run on Windows 7 client. So hopefully that's a cool thing for you guys. And there's just a few steps that you need to know to get that environment going. You know, there's a few pieces that you need. There's like a security framework called Geneva, and there's just a few things that you want to have. That's all documented in this white paper. You all have these slides, so you'll walk away with everything you need to get going. It's just kind of like following a little bit of a cookbook. We definitely have aspirations to make that kind of a headbutt-style installer so that it's just really easy to get on Windows 7. So we'll be thinking about how do we get there in the future. Any questions so far about that? Just kind of getting going, system requirements. One other question I get a lot is, do I need to have SharePoint 2010, or can I think about SharePoint 2007? Pretty much everything I show you in Visual Studio 2010 really does require SharePoint 2010. And we actually take advantage of platform features that only exist in 2010. So for example, if you've seen the list data service, you know, kind of the way to use OData to connect to SharePoint, that actually leverages a SharePoint platform feature that's only in 2010. And so that's just something for you to know, too. So, you know, if you want to do 2007 development, that's going to be constrained to workflows. You can do that in Visual Studio 2008. If you want to do kind of the full gamut of SharePoint scenarios, you're going to need 2010 and 2010 put together. All right, so we'll get that out of the way. Those are kind of prerequisites. So, you know, like I said, you know, as a Visual Studio guy, a lot of things look like a template. A lot of things look like a designer. I don't want to bore you to death with slides, so I'd rather just kind of give you a lap around the IDE and show you inside there. So if it's okay with you, I'm just going to close PowerPoint for a bit, and we'll shift over to the demo. But is that okay? Have your permission? Yay! Cheers are okay for that. That's great. All right, so let's make sure I got the right one. Okay, everybody in the back, you can see that? Okay. Awesome. So what I have here, this is a Windows 7 client OS, nothing particularly fancy. We've installed Visual Studio 2010, and we've also installed, on the SharePoint side, SharePoint 2010 Foundation. Right? And that's the one that you could just go download today. You could get started with it. So this is kind of like the standard configuration you'd want to get going with. You should be able to do it right now. When I start Visual Studio, I've already set up my icon to run as admin elevated. And so just keep that in mind. When you're working with SharePoint, you need to do some administrative stuff, you know, in particular with a debugger and working with SharePoint. So you'll always want to run as admin elevated. And you know, I do it so often, I set that in my shortcut. We can hide this away. You know, and we're in Visual Studio. We have that familiar experience, kind of the getting started project experience. If you do want to get going with SharePoint, right in the start page, we do give you kind of reminders of what's new in SharePoint. We have some really good guidance and tutorials and how-to videos on how to do a lot of the things that I'm going to show you here. So, you know, if you forget everything you saw today, you can go home and we've got a lot of this stuff. We have a team that regularly works on investing in ongoing content and continuously improving it. So as you go to these online developer centers, you'll just see more and more get added over time based on what you guys ask for. All right. So now what I'm going to do, I'm going to create a new project, just kind of in the standard Visual Studio way. And if I look down the left side, you know, for SharePoint, now we're seeing two versions. We see SharePoint 2007. That's basically all about workflow. Now when I look at 2010, boom, the list gets way longer. And you start to see just a number of the things that in the SharePoint platform get supported. You know, so you know, for me, I'm kind of a little bit more of a UI-centric guy. So starting with the Visual Web Part template is a pretty natural thing for me. Right? So that's where I'm going to define, you know, what looks a little bit like a user control or a web part. I can design it. I can use just entirely ASP.NET feature set, or I can start to use things that are in the SharePoint object model so that I can really take advantage of the platform. We continue to have workflows, and then you start to see some other things that exist in the platform. So BDC models, again, that's a way to work with external data from SharePoint. Event receivers, basically you can handle server events. So you know, if data is getting added, if something's happening with the list, if something's getting deleted, you can write that code that only a developer will write inside the list receiver. And lists, I think this is another important thing to talk about. So the standard unit of data inside of SharePoint is the list. You know, we're kind of used to tables in SQL. The analogy is lists in SharePoint. We have a decent story for working with lists. It's kind of a bit of XML, so you'll have to get used to working with XML. But you can create list definitions, and from that you can create list instances. So for example, I might have a task list, and then I might have milestone 1 tasks, milestone 2 tasks, that kind of a thing. I can create that all kind of from these templates. I'm going to start with a visual web part, and we'll get going from there. That's a good point. So the gentleman said, you know, hey, C#, you should be able to do the same thing. And everything I show you today, you'll be able to do interchangeably in VB and C#. I'm going to show probably the first half of my demos in VB, and then I'm going to swap over to C# just to really demonstrate that you can do both. That's a good point. Okay, so I'm going to create this visual web part project. Now, a thing that I've done is I've already created a site collection on SharePoint. I think that's really a best practice. So you're seeing that I'm not just going to my local host, which is kind of the default site collection. I've created this thing called Overview, and I'm going to do my development against that. And I would recommend for you guys, you know, think about, as developers, the isolation you want to have with SharePoint. And you know, you might be doing some things that destabilize sites and site collections for other users or even other developers. So that's why, you know, pretty much everything I do, I always create a new site collection. I'll usually create a new site page. And when I'm playing and I'm iterating with my code, I'll always work against that site collection site page that's just for me. And I know that I'm isolated from other users of the SharePoint server. All right, so this is actually the target that I want to work with. For a visual web part, we're seeing these two options here. And I don't know if Mark talked about it, but I'll talk about it quickly. There's kind of two environment or running models that we have in SharePoint. There's farm solutions, which you could kind of think of as full trust. It's something that you have full control over the server and the platform. You're an administrator, and you can build things at that level. You can kind of run any kind of code that you have. We also have something called sandbox solutions. And that, you know, sandbox, as you'd expect, limits some of the riskier operations that your solution can do. And it will help you increase the reliability of your SharePoint server if you want to kind of live within those constraints. So for the visual web part that I'm going to show you, in this version is only a farm solution. Now, if you go to that msdn.com/SharePoint, you're going to find that we have a plugin that also lets you do visual web parts in the sandbox. And so that's something that you guys should go check out if you want the best of visual design and the best of the sandbox. Any quick questions about that? So we'll hit finish. And now you're going to start to see some of the things we did that just give you that Visual Studio experience on top of SharePoint, right? So just like you'd expect, I have a classic Visual Studio project, right? And some of the unique things, like if I click on the project node, I'm going to see some of those parameters that I set in the create new project experience. So I can see, you know, sandbox solution equals false. Don't worry, if you didn't pick that up front, you can go ahead and change it here. I'd say the most important thing in the first part of Solution Explorer to remember is your site URL is defined here. So if I am taking my code and I'm moving it to another developer machine, or I'm repurposing it for another SharePoint collection, site collection, or even another server, I just want to go and change the site URL here, and then I can very easily adapt to other sites, other servers, other site collections. So you might find yourself doing that pretty often. Okay. Otherwise, you know, the anatomy of a solution is what you'd expect. So any SharePoint-specific item, and we call those SPIs for short, those will show up. So we have our web parts. You'd see your event receivers, that kind of a thing. We have a key, and we do some kind of signing under the covers to make it easy to talk to SharePoint. And then to help you with deployment, we expose, you know, the features that you're going to install to SharePoint. And then also the package that's going to package up. You can kind of think of making an installer, an MSI. That equivalent is a package in SharePoint. And if you see WSP, that's the package format. And you'll see that all right here kind of inside of Visual Studio. Otherwise, it's pretty standard, right? For a web part is still just a web part. This is standard ASP.NET. I can look at it in HTML markup view. I can look at it in the WYSIWYG designer. And then I can start, you know, very quickly building my application. So let's do that. I'm going to build the most basic web part that interacts with the task list inside of Visual Studio. All right, so let's add some text, task description. And let's add a text box here. All right, and then let's add a calendar control for due date. And then we'll add a button so that when the users kind of enter the input, we'll push that task up to SharePoint. We'll just change the text here. And let's add a label so that we can dynamically show the status of pushing that data up to SharePoint. So I'll use an ASP.NET label. And I don't want the user to see anything until my code writes to that label, so we're just going to empty the text. All right, and just, again, very, very standard ASP.NET stuff that you guys probably do all the time. And I'm taking advantage of every ASP.NET tooling feature that we also added to 2010. So I'm seeing the rich IntelliSense. I'm seeing the designer improvement. I'm seeing things keep in sync. So that's kind of a cool thing. And now, you know, as developers, when we want to try things out, typically we just hit F5 or the start button, and we get going. So at this point, you know, Visual Studio is doing something that in 2007 would require you to follow about 30 steps in a white paper, where we're going to define some features, we're going to define a package, we're going to make sure that the SharePoint server is ready, we're going to upload it, we're going to activate the feature. You get the idea. And then every F5 cycle, you've got to tear it down, and then you've got to kind of rebuild that deployment experience. So, you know, what I like to say is, in Visual 2007, you probably get to like GUIDs a lot because you're going to be using a heck of a lot of them. But if you use 2010, you know, you're just hitting F5 and it's kind of business as usual. So now that I've hit F5, I see that my overview is kind of fired up here. I did make a site page just for the sake of demo. All right, and I can go and edit the site page right inside of SharePoint. And we can insert this new feature that we just built. So that feature is a web part, and I go to custom. That's where I'm going to find, by default, the stuff that I created. And I unfortunately didn't give it a unique name, so I have like 4 visual web parts. Probably a best practice is to give things a name so you can find it more easily than I will here. I've got to remember my own best practices here. So I'll hit add, and that was the wrong one. Shucks. Oh, my gosh. This is amateur night, right? There we go. Woohoo! So, very important thing, hit save. Visual Studio doesn't do a great job of kind of working with rendered .NET code inside a page that's in editing mode. So you just always want to hit save, get yourself out of editing mode, and then really play with the feature. I see a few heads nodding. Maybe you've sort of hit the same thing. All right, so now we can have a task description. And we'll add a task for all of us, right? Let's say get lunch in an hour. Or so. All right. And we can go ahead and, you know, we'll pick a date for this task. I don't think we want to do it next. I don't think we want to do it too far out. So we'll do it here. And we can add task. That's running the .NET code that I just wrote. And off we go. Now, if I go to the actual SharePoint tasks list, I'm actually seeing nothing, and that's because I didn't write my code. So that's okay. This is kind of the iterative process. So I'm going to go back. I'm going to double-click on the button. That's going to create the event handler for me. All right. And if I were in C#, it'll kind of do the add handler, you know, equivalent of what you're seeing here in VB. And I'm going to cheat because program managers at Microsoft, we always cheat. So I'm going to drag in a snippet of code, and that was the wrong one. should be this one. We'll go full screen just so you can see it. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to use the SharePoint object model. And I'm going to work with the native SharePoint list called tasks that's in there. I'm going to create a new task, and I'm going to add it to the list. And it's just standard stuff. There's a title, and there's a due date. I'm taking that as input from the controls you saw me drag in. And then there's that status label, right, that you saw me do. I'm just going to poke some status into there. And when I'm done, I'm going to clear it. So very, very basic code. All right, and now you can see me do the iterative development process. So I don't have to retract my solution and go through heroics at this point. I'm just going to hit F5 again. All right, we'll go back to my little test site page here. And this should... There we go. And now I can see that actual real code that only we could write as developers is firing off here. And that's pushing data into my SharePoint list. Now I'm going to go over to the SharePoint list. And I can see that I have this list item. I'm getting the, now I'm, you know, from the user's point of view, there's nothing really custom or strange or new. I'm in my familiar SharePoint experience, just working with my data. And I can go ahead and edit the item. Right, and I could mark it as completed or in progress. Let's mark it as in progress. Hit save, etc. I could also do standard list operations, like I could go ahead and delete the item. Oh, and I have some code running there. Pretend you didn't see that. So by default, you know, you can just add and delete items from the list, and I wanted to show you that deleting a task that isn't done, well, that's kind of goofy. Like, we, you know, as developers, we're probably building business rules that make sure that the right stuff has happened before our end users are deleting data or doing something with it that we can't stop or that we can't track. So in comes another interesting feature of SharePoint, which is the event receiver. And the event receiver lets you trap a lot of the interesting events on the SharePoint server and write some code to say, hey, here's what should happen here, and give you guys complete control over that. All right.
If it is conflict, then it will not appear. If the conflict column here is true, then this message, if you hit the button, it will not appear.
That's correct. So the gentleman pointed out that I already have a little bit of logic here that, you know, what I want to have happen is if my task is in anything other than the completed state, I want to throw up a message and say, hey, you can't do that. You got to complete the task. And, you know, SharePoint isn't just going to do that for you. That's code that we have to write. So let me show you how I did it. All right. So let's go back here, and we're going to add a new SharePoint item. And this time we're going to add an event receiver. Okay, and now, you know, there's enough events in SharePoint, and they're a little bit opaque from a coding standpoint to know which one's what. So what we did is we added this little lightweight dialogue that helps you kind of in familiar language understand what the events are and what they're going to do, right? So if we deal with list item events, and you could deal with lists, you could deal with items, you could deal with web events, all kinds of stuff, we can drill in and say, hey, on the task list, when an item is being deleted, I want to have some code run. All right? And you can see there's a lot of different things. The file was moved, an attachment item was made, and you can kind of think of all the different workflows that we have as developers, right? So data is getting added, data is getting deleted. When that happens, you guys want to be triggering processes like, hey, I want a report to be generated. I want to check for compliance. I want to do some validation. I want to send an email, right? I want to notify these other people. So those are all the kinds of scenarios you can do kind of with the event receiver. So, you know, let's just check off this initial one. We'll hit finish. And you can see that, you know, what that basically did, it added this item for you, and it wrote just a little bit of code on your behalf that traps the right event. And actually, this one wasn't too hard to figure out how to write. But you start to see that there's a lot of members here, and you might not be sure what each one does, and that's why we thought it was kind of interesting to write the dialogue that did that stuff for you. All right, so now let's, right now this event handler is basically doing nothing. So let's add a little bit of code. And again, I'm going to cheat. I set expectations, I cheat. All right, so so in this case, you know, we're going to get the list item. We're going to check the status. If it's anything other than completed, then we're going to cancel the event, and we're going to pop up this error message. You know, and if I were to take more time, I would probably grab this error message from, you know, from a content database or from a resource so that I can localize it and I can change it after the fact really easy. But just for the sake of the demo, that's really all there is to it. All right, so we're going to come back into code. We're going to iterate. We're going to do an F5. The tool is doing a bunch of work for us. All right, we're going to come back to the site page. And actually, as we already saw before, the task, this kind of test is already working. Right? So we'll go here. We'll add a task. We'll go to the task list. Right? And this thing's not started. I'm going to go delete it. And I can see that this error message is firing off. Now let's edit it. I'm going to change this guy to completed. No problem. All right. So that was kind of like our very first writing server logic, you know, for SharePoint. And as you can see, it's really straightforward. Works in VB and C Sharp. Pretty straightforward stuff. So, any questions about that so far? Can I wire my own event? Yes, I can. I can, well, it depends on what you mean. As long as there's some other events in the server that that you can listen to, you can certainly have your own custom kind of delegates for that. And for your own extensions that you write, those extensions can have events too, if that's what you mean. All right? But it's not like we can't inject new events in the SharePoint platform that aren't there. Okay? Any other quick questions? Yes, sir. Let's see. Oh, that's there's kind of more. Let's see if I remember where this guy is. We have more definition behind this, and in the declarative definitions, that's kind of where we know that we're operating on the task list. So it's in kind of the XML behind, and that's where we do the association. And this right now would work, I think, global to your site collection. So that code will run global to that. And you could actually change what the visibility and the scope of that is. All right. Any other questions? The question is this similar to the ASP.page lifecycle? Yes. I mean, so you have the same kind of concepts of postback or those kinds of things. In addition, SharePoint also has its lifecycle. So it's kind of like the aggregate of the two lifecycles is what you're working in. But yeah, if you're being familiar with the ASP.NET lifecycle, you'll be able to get very far just using those events, page load, et cetera. Okay. All right, let's move forward a little bit. So I think, you know, the kind of the takeaway here is the star of this demo wasn't really the code. It was kind of all the code and the markup and the GUIDs and the stuff I didn't have to do, right? It's just kind of business as usual, hitting F5, using templates. All right, so let's pop back here. Mark started touching on this, and you know, there really is what we think of a developer continuum for the kinds of solutions that we're building today. Now, you know, the very first starting point that I think a lot of people start with is just thinking about, well, what can I do in SharePoint itself, right? What are the built-in lists and events and templates and forms that are already built in, and kind of start there. And then we have a progression of tools that allow us to do more and more sophisticated customization. You know, so Visio, very interesting to kind of design and scaffold that skeleton of a workflow. And you can use Visual Studio or Visio 2010 with SharePoint 2010, and there's a way to basically import and export, and round trip those workflow processes back and forth also to SharePoint Designer. And SharePoint Designer is, you know, what I think of as kind of the no-code way for a power user to design custom lists, custom web pages. You can work with declarative workflows. You can also start to work with BCS in kind of a declarative way. So it gives you a nice on-ramp kind of into power user features. But you know, you still find that there's a number of things that you can only do as developers and through code, right? So that custom web part that I showed you that has a completely different UI experience, that has controls that don't even exist inside of SharePoint, that has logic that isn't declared already in SharePoint, I mean, that's the kind of the sweet spot inside of Visual Studio. And if I go down the list, you know, there's all those kind of customization points that we have built in. And we took the first step at enabling the continuum with these other tools, Visio and SharePoint, that I talked about before. And that's basically that you can take your power user project that you've been defining in SharePoint Designer, and you can pull that forward into Visual Studio 2010. And the way that I'm going to show you, but basically, if you export a WSP package, which again is the installer for a SharePoint solution, I can take that into Visual Studio, import it, crack it open, and basically kind of give you the source code representation of all of those SharePoint artifacts and elements that are in there. And at that point, you know, we can start to write code behind and do the work that we do best as developers. Now, you know, we did prioritize kind of going in the dimension of from power user taking that and making it a custom solution. I do want to be clear that once you bring a solution into Visual Studio, at that point it's kind of graduated and it is a code solution. So we don't at this point have kind of the round trip story where I write some code, then I bring it back into SharePoint Designer, I design it some more and bring it back. It's kind of a one-way trip. But the thing that we've done to kind of mitigate that limitation is we're, you know, looking at every great scenario that you can do in SharePoint Designer, and we are doing the best we can over time to make sure that all of your needs are met just by Visual Studio and that you have less and less reasons to have to leave Visual Studio and use other tools. So, you know, I think the main limitation that you might see in Visual Studio 2010 is, you know, our story for creating lists and defining lists, it's XML-based. It's a little bit harder, frankly, than SharePoint Designer. So, you know, what I personally like to do is I create my list schema in Excel, pop it into SharePoint Designer, and then pop that into Visual Studio 2010. And that's still a pretty quick and easy way to just rapidly create these lists, get them into Visual Studio, and start doing the coding. You know, and we have aspirations with the next chance we get, just like I said, remove every reason that you'd have to go to another tool. So it wouldn't surprise me if you start to see better list support and stuff like that in the future. Okay, so questions on the continuum? I'm actually going to show it to you. I don't think, Mithun, we didn't show that before?
Sorry.
A migration from...
No, we didn't?
Cool. All right, so let's go check it out. All right, so on disk, what I've done is I've created this WSP package, which is the installer for the set of features that that you can create based on a solution. That's been exported from SharePoint Designer, which I have on this machine. And there's a list in SharePoint Designer called Customers. And so I basically, you know, carefully created that schema. I exported it, and I want to start using that in Visual Studio. So I've already done the step to export, and that's just kind of a built-in command inside of SharePoint Designer. Now I'm going to pull it into Visual Studio. So the way I would do that is I'm going to create a new project, and I can just add it to my solution here. I'm in the SharePoint node again, and I'm going to scroll down, and I see here that I can import a SharePoint solution package, or basically I can import a WSP package. And that's going to create this WSP import project. I can give it a better name. All right. At this point, we're going to prompt you and say, hey, like, just to make sure, where is this thing going to go? So you're going to pick again what your SharePoint remote server target should be. And you have the choice to pick sandbox or farm. And actually, a list, there's really nothing that wouldn't work outside of the sandbox yet. So we'll treat that as a sandbox solution. And then I'm going to pick that exported package that came from SharePoint Designer. So if I can find it, too many folders here. All right, so here it is. I'm going to hit next. It's going to take a couple seconds. Hopefully not bad enough that we have to get coffee, but we're just going to crack open that package. And you can actually see that there's quite a few artifacts that get exported by SharePoint Designer. And kind of an interesting thing is, you know, sometimes built-in types are being exported, and sometimes it's just the types that you care about. So if you're kind of careful about what you export, and you can just take the subset of the interesting export elements and just pull in those, right? So what I'm really interested in is the customers list. So I got to unselect all this stuff. So what I'm going to do is take the next 15 minutes, and I'm just going to uncheck everything, and you guys can hang out. Okay, I'm just kidding. We should have probably added a little deselect all, but don't worry about it. You can just say select all, click the checkbox, and kind of remove them all that way. Promise me you don't show that to your friends without making sure they give you something for it, right? Because that's what I do. All right, so let's go to customer. This is the guy. This is the list instance that I actually wanted in the first place. I'm just going to pick that, and I'm going to hit finish. All right. And, you know, we're trying to be smart here. We realize that customer depends on a number of fields, which are basically kind of like definitions for the columns in database speak. We've got a number of those dependencies that we recognize we can bring in. Now, if you know these types are built into SharePoint, there's no need to bring them in again. In fact, you actually don't want to do that because now you have your user code kind of conflicting with built-in types. So we can just say, actually, no, we don't need to pull in all those dependencies. Right? And at the end of the day, I just get this SharePoint item, which is a customer. And then under the covers, there's a schema, and there's an elements file that's kind of hooking up the schema with the instance. So we do some of the platform heavy lifting for you. And at the end, you just end up with this list. Now, again, you know, I mentioned it's kind of an XML experience to work with lists and list definitions at this point in Visual Studio. So you know, you get to know the schema, and you'll be okay. But I think if you can do the majority of your scaffolding of your type in SharePoint Designer, it'll be a heck of a lot faster when you actually do your development in Visual Studio. One other thing I'm going to mention is, you know, we've recognized that we've introduced kind of a new feature, like a list would be a new feature, and we've automatically enumerated those features for you in the Visual Studio solution so that they can get included in a package. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about deployment and what that all means, but you can at least rest assured that we try to pick some smart defaults to get this thing packaged up for you. Now what I should be able to do, I'm going to make this my startup project, hit F5, and I should be able to see this list that we imported. Okay, and because I've done this demo before on this machine and I forgot to delete the list, there's actually a little bit of conflict resolution, which is nice. It says, hey, do you want to overwrite this thing? Actually, I do. Let's just go ahead and resolve it for me, Visual Studio. All right. And now that I see in this list pane, I see my very simple list, you know, not too much of a schema. There's just a title. But I see my customer list here. And I can go ahead and add data at this point to my particular instance. There's some things that we don't import. Like we don't, for the QuickNav pane, there's some attributes like that we don't pull forward. So those are decorations that you're going to need to do in XML. But we do the heavy lifting of getting the schema pulled forward for you. Okay, so bottom line, we can pull in some artifacts from a WSP package that came from SharePoint Designer into Visual Studio, make it really easy to package up for you, and then you can start doing your more interesting developer coding with those assets. Questions on that? All right, Great. So let's go back here. Okay, so we kind of already covered this, but the project system has a few nodes that are specific to SharePoint. We talked about the project properties. Don't forget, that's where you can actually change your site URL. Very handy. We've got the features and package nodes, which I'm actually about to show you. We do have mappings between the folders. And you know, if there are SharePoint-specific properties, you know, for example, sandboxing, those things will show up as well off of each particular item. So you know, basically, we have a, if you're deep inside of Visual Studio, we have a flavored project system that's actually based off of the workflow project system, and it's extended to understand kind of the unique aspects of SharePoint. Right? In terms of features and packaging, we want deployment to be a non-event for you as a developer, right? And that's that. Like, the best thing you could say for me is like, "Hey, Paul, like, deployment was totally boring. I don't get what the big deal is." That's what we want. So we just, you know, we auto detect features, and we do make it easy for you to control which features are added and removed. We give you a package designer so you can aggregate a set of features, and then you get kind of a design experience, which we call the Packaging Explorer, so you can see the hierarchy of all the stuff that you're about to install. Also, I'll just kind of, I'd rather just show you this, but it gets kind of interesting keeping track of all the stuff that you've deployed to your either your local or your remote SharePoint server. So we did decide that it'd be interesting to enumerate that stuff inside of Server Explorer. So you can see all of those artifacts that are already there. You can kind of quickly inspect the properties. You know, there are also partners in the community who've done a heck of a lot more with the Server Explorer. So for example, you could create those SP link objects if you want to, you know, using an extension. And so definitely check out the ecosystem. We have some links at the end here. So you can get stuff that adds value right on top of Server Explorer, the other tools that we have. So This might be the quickest demo ever because I've kind of covered the stuff, but just to refresh our memories. So if I come back here, you know, what I talked about is like the first unit of work that you can install in SharePoint as a feature. If I double click it, we start to see the feature designer, and this is where I can start to do nice things like, you know, give a friendly title and description, and I have more control over the, you know, the SharePoint item and then the properties that are getting deployed. I can kind of add and remove things into that unit of a feature. And one thing to remember is that when you're working with SharePoint production, you kind of explicitly opt in for, of my installed features, which ones am I going to turn on, right? So as a developer, this gives you the way to draw boundaries around sets of features that you want admins to be able to turn on and off, right? And you know, it doesn't always make sense to have one huge feature that includes everything and you turn the whole thing on and off. You might want to refactor it a bit so that, you know, some features can be on, some can be off, and you can really opt in, right? And then like I mentioned, this all comes together inside of a package, right? So a package has one to many features. And you get an experience over defining, okay, in this installer, which features do I want to aggregate and include? And you know, I could install a set of features, and then the admin can still kind of go and turn them on and off inside of the SharePoint administration. So that's it. Like I said, it's meant to be a non-event, and it's meant to be easy. Any quick questions on that? What versions of Windows 7? So for SharePoint development?
Yeah, I mean, the installation that you talk about.
Okay, so these installers work are installers for SharePoint server, right? So the WSP would work on Foundation or on Microsoft Office server, right? SharePoint server. So you can in that standpoint, kind of like, the if I understand it right, the version of Windows 7 hasn't played in yet. And then these tools can work on top of, I think, every version of Windows Server except for Starter or Basic. So is that what you meant? Or?
No, I mean the development environment you just mentioned in the beginning, like setting up the development environment.
Yes.
What version of Windows 7 do you need?
Okay, the version I have is Windows 7 Client Enterprise. That's what I'm running, just because that's what we get a volume license for inside of Microsoft. You can use Windows. I think you could use Home Premium. You can use Professional.
The key is that it has to be 64-bit.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah, the key is it has to be 64-bit. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. It has to be 64-bit.
And it doesn't support production.
Yep. Yeah, and it's meant. Thanks. It's great having him here. This is only for developer purposes on Windows 7. So you know, to really have production applications, you know, read your license, but that's going to tie you to Windows Server. But yeah, as a developer, you're good to go probably on the Windows. Like, what version do you have?
Well, I think I was having issues with, Home Premium.
With Home Premium?
Yeah.
Okay, let's chat afterwards. And.
Getting IIS 7.0 here, deployment.
Yep. So the question is deploy to IIS 7. Yep, so we have prereqs on the version of IIS that you're going to use, and we actually enforce that in the install process, and that's something that SharePoint does. I don't know, any color, Mark, you provide on IIS versions?
Yeah,
experience?
Turn on some management, IIS 6 management stuff's going to be turned on, but there's a script, there's a PowerShell script you can just run. It's pretty automated.
Yep.
It's really good instructions. It takes a while. It takes about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes just to go through those steps, but it's pretty automated. There is an easy, SPEasy install to do this. I would not recommend using that on
we're going to mic Mark up so everybody can hear that.
So there's really good instructions on MSDN. Just search on SharePoint 2010 Windows 7, and it gives you step-by-step instructions. There's a download there for SPEasy install that'll go ahead and automate downloading and installing everything in trial mode. I strongly recommend you don't do that on a box that you actually use every day. It's really for just development, and so it's got a unique case, like using it on a VM or something is fine, but don't use that for any regular box. But just follow the instructions and it works great on that site rather than using that script. And the prereqs specifically, there's a lot. There's about 7 prereqs of installs you have to do, as well as Windows features that need to be installed. Everything from synchronization, MSI, ADO.NET packs. It's a bunch of work.
Yeah, SQL, Geneva. There's exactly. A few things. But there's a link at the end of this presentation that you all have, and it just points directly to that setup step. So, okay. Yes, absolutely. You can use Server R2. Yep. We just want to make sure the request before is, hey, why aren't you doing Windows 7 Client OS? So we added that ability. Yes. Yes, it can be installed on a virtual machine. In fact, what I'm showing you right here is actually a VHD or a virtual machine that I've dual booted into from. From XP, and you can also do it in Hyper-V or your VM of choice, but you can do that. The thing I recommend for virtualization, you want to have about 6 gigs of RAM, I think, to pull it off comfortably. So you can leave a few for the server OS, and then you have enough. Tips?
The other thing is you need a lot of memory. Don't underestimate it. And definitely put that VHD on a different hard drive. It's completely impractical to run that on your primary OS hard drive if you're doing it on a VHD. So put the VHD on a different drive than your primary OS and then launch it that way. So if you're running a virtual machine, that's almost a must. You must do that. If you run the VHD and you're booting to the VHD, then it's okay to have that on the same OS. But if you're going to do it, the virtual machine actually hosted on the primary OS, then you got to do it on a different hard drive.
Yep, I would agree with that. So the magic number is 6 gigs, and then use a different hard disk. Yes?
How do you set the SharePoint default 4.0 framework?
It actually can't. So the question is, how do you set SharePoint to use the framework 4.0? SharePoint today uses framework 3.5, and that's a constraint. And so, you know, Mark might have alluded to it. When we showed the unit testing feature, unit testing assumes framework 4.0, and that's the rub why we need kind of a service pack fix to allow unit testing to actually retarget 3.5. So it's 3.5. That's the development that we can do today.
Well, unless you do client-side.
Unless you do client-side object
which
model.
Which is what just to clarify, yep. I demoed client-side unit testing, which is why it worked, even though I was using .NET 4.0. You cannot do unit testing with 3.5 until you install Visual Studio 2010 Service Pack, which is currently in beta.
That's a good point. Yeah, or if you had something entirely server client side like Silverlight, you could.
Yeah, and Silverlight 4 works fine too. So.
Yep. Exactly. But for any server code, it's 3.5, and that's just a hard constraint. You know, and that's kind of typical, right? When we deliver server products, we typically baseline on at the time what was the stable feature. So at the time, you know, SharePoint went out the door, 3.5 was kind of the stable thing. And, you know, in the future, you could imagine future versions of SharePoint will actually kind of elevate the supported version of the framework. Okay?
So it will not satisfy because there are a lot of issues. Like now they have an MVC3, right? Before all
Yep.
parts. If you develop that part in MVC3,
Yep.
SharePoint is not there.
Okay, so you're saying 4.0, you're hoping to look at 4.0 to see if that's better?
I would like to have a SharePoint.
Okay, yeah, so there's no plans that I know of to update it as a service pack, so just kind of stay tuned for news on there.
The one way to get around that is to go ahead and just do an HTML render. So go ahead and create another site that's not running inside SharePoint, and then render that site in SharePoint just using an HTML render web part. It's not a solution, right, but it's a workaround if you want to do .NET development, ASP.NET development, within and render it within SharePoint. That's the easiest way to do it because you're not going to get 4.0 to work inside SharePoint.
Yep. So you're kind of building a straddle application at that point. Where,
right, exactly. It's almost like a mashup, right? And just being frank, right? Don't use .NET. There are other tricks with Entity Framework and stuff, but that's the key thing is just have it be separate.
All right. Yep. Good questions. All right. So that was essentially kind of the packaging story. What we didn't do, we can go ahead and we can actually publish or deploy to the SharePoint server. And sometimes if you see retractions happening, you just have to wait, possibly retract again. Just a little race condition there. And we'll deploy again. We can see that the conflict resolution is kicking in. And, you know, kind of like we saw in F5, I can explicitly do my production, I can explicitly deploy my installer locally and kind of try out turning on the features on and off at that point. And then if I want to move to production, then that's a matter of taking my WSP package that was created and kind of it's in the build up, it's here. You give that to your SharePoint administrator and they can install it that way. Or maybe you're the administrator, you can install it. So again, it's kind of the non-event. That's what we want. All right. So in terms of extensibility, we do have a few kind of options for you, and you'll see that members of the community ecosystem, possibly you in the room, have already done it. But there's, you know, kind of project extensions to kind of alter the set of commands that we have and properties and add value there. Project items are the same, and Server Explorer extensions are the same. You know, I talked about there's the way to kind of generate SP link objects right from the assets that you see inside of Server Explorer. So definitely check out the link at the end of this deck, and you see some really cool community and ecosystem offerings that are out there. We've built a couple things that we've, from Microsoft, contributed to the ecosystem. One of them has to do with more easily and reliably writing a sandbox application. So like I mentioned, in sandbox, there's kind of a subset of things in APIs that you can write against that are safe for the sandbox. And so we have a feature called sandbox compilation that will inspect the code you've written, and it'll guide you on kind of gotchas where you wrote some code that probably won't work in the sandbox. We'll squiggle it, and we'll give you some help as far as kind of making your application sandbox aware. The other extension that we've delivered is the ability to do a visual web part in the sandbox. So you can kind of think it's like a power pack that's intended to make your life with sandbox a little bit better. Just curious, is anybody writing extensions today for SharePoint? Okay. Anybody have aspirations to do that now that you know you can? Okay. I wasn't expecting a lot there yet. And there's a few more, you know, kind of deployment extensions. Interesting thing with deployment is sort of pre and post steps, and there are ways to handle that. Also, if there's difficult kind of conflict handling, like that, I see that a lot with data, where you might have data that you need to sort of merge in with new schema and preserve the data and kind of do the right things as you've expanded or split columns. you have a hook where you can extend that. There's package validation rules. So if you want additional rules that kind of happen to make sure that your compliance and requirements needs are met, you can go ahead and do that. Then if you want to extend kind of the MS build set of targets, you can go ahead and do that too, which is kind of a handy way to build out more code artifacts based on whatever mechanisms you have, XML, what have you. I already talked about it, so our contribution is the power tools. There's a link right here in the deck. You check out the community kit as well. There's a number of awesome things on the CodePlex. Bethune, Mark, any of your favorite extensions that come to mind I didn't mention?
I use the MS Build stuff a lot.
Yep. So he uses the MS Build stuff a lot. So, okay. Let's talk about Service Pack 1 beta, right? So you guys can go get it right now. I do, on a separate machine, have it running. I didn't put it on this VM. Big ticket thing, so you know, we kind of talked about that SharePoint supports Framework 3.5, and that's what it does. To get our ALM features, like IntelliTrace or Unit Test, to work properly, we need to lift a few assumptions so that those ALM features can also work with the same supported matrix that SharePoint supports. So I'd say big ticket things. We've enabled IntelliTrace. So if you have the ultimate SKU, you can go ahead and get really handy logs and replay code so that you can find issues, play the stack back and go ahead and fix it. When you're doing server development, I think IntelliTrace is invaluable, so that's really cool. Unit tests also, so Mark showed the client-side aspects, and you can actually do kind of integration and unit tests on SharePoint directly based on the fix here in Service Pack 1. So we're excited about that. Hopefully you can check it out, give us some feedback, tell us if the beta of the Service Pack is working for you and meeting your needs. Just kind of curious, like, unit testing, are folks doing that right now? Okay, some people. Anybody checked out IntelliTrace? Yeah. It's handy. It's a heck of a lot easier, I think, than doing your own traces, right? One other thing that we're doing in terms of IntelliTrace, you know, sometimes the logs are as good as the things that we automatically emit. So we've been working with the SharePoint team to kind of figure out, hey, what are the top things that people are instrumenting and logging? We don't want to go crazy and create a huge log, but we've been working on that to make sure that, you know, the defaults are pretty good. So you can look at the service pack and maybe give me your feedback on how did we do logging the right stuff for you. All right. Because it was already shown, I won't do the unit tests. So we'll go into some resources, so some things that you guys want to definitely check out. We have a pretty lively team blog, so you can meet some different personalities on my team and kind of hear what's going on, hear the news. This third one is probably one-stop shopping. So if you remember one of them, you know, Microsoft.com/SharePoint. We federate the best of the best guidance, learning, samples. We point you to the forums, everything. So that's really kind of the hub. And then, you know, there's healthy discussions in the forums. There's some good patterns and practices and videos. There's, you know, just a ton of content out there. And given the momentum of SharePoint, you know, it's something we're really excited about. And we invest a lot of time and kind of content here for you guys. Also, you know, my team kind of works on that a little bit too. So I'd love to hear, you know, do you like the content? Is it helpful? Is there stuff that's missing? That kind of stuff really helps me and the team give you what you guys need. And I think as far as my structured part of the talk, that's what I wanted to show, just kind of give you the overview. So thank you very much. I'll take some questions. Is there a good book? Yeah, there's actually several good books. I could tout the ones that my team did, but yeah, there's one. So Eric Carter, who's actually our former dev manager, you know, he's sort of one of the godparents of SharePoint development. So he's got an interesting book. I'm actually interested in the partner point of view. Any of your favorites?
I have to say, with 2010, I didn't start with the book. So it's in 2007.
Because it's so easy that.
This is what we're talking about. So.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I, I think the part is, you know, when we start in the party network, we start earlier before the books are available. So.
Yep. This is a cutting edge developer right here. Any other, Mathun, any of your favorites?
You know, I like Eric Carter's book, but it's been a while since I even delved onto it. So.
Okay. Yeah, and we do have a book section on the Dev Center where we mention a few. So so there's definitely, there exists some good books, and I'm sure there's even more that I don't know about yet. And also, you know, like I think some developers like books also, some people learn with videos, some people learn with samples. So we've kind of got a portfolio of all the different kinds of learning, just whatever works for you best.
Channel 9 labs are great.
Yeah.
So if you go to Channel 9, actually I'll play a video off of it in just a bit. If you go to channel9.com/SharePoint, msdn.channel9.com/SharePoint, you'll find a lot of good information to get started. It's free training, so you know you can definitely use those resources to ramp your skills.
Yes, sir.
What is the easiest way to include your satellite assemblies within your visual web part? So when you deploy it, you don't have to drag and drop into the bin every single time.
That's a great question.
Yeah, that is a good question.
Can you repeat the question, please?
So if I understand, you're asking, like, what's the best practice to deploy satellite assemblies
with your web part?
With your web part? Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't think we have an automagic way to do that. You're looking at kind of some custom steps or steps that you'd automate to do that. Now, we do have a white paper that shows how to do a more sophisticated team build, which can even do deploys and retracts. And so that, if you want to do a little bit of work, you could do your own team build scripting. Mark, any?
Yeah, I just, you're right, it's painful right now. And
yeah.
I'm just creating the reference of them to do it. So yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that hard, but it's not like you know, Paul said, just go to this package and it's supposed to be really simple. That particular task is not simple.
Yeah, you're right.
Even like a build path to dump your exported assemblies would be awesome.
Okay.
I point it right to the bin directory, and when it builds, it just drops.
I have this on my list of things I need to talk to Paul about. So.
That's really helpful. Yeah, I think you're very polite in asking as a question, but I think it's a bit of a hole that we should think about plugging. So, yeah, thanks for that feedback. Anything else? How much more time do we have?
15 minutes over already.
Okay. Well, you're nice. So I'm eating into your lunch here. So tell you what, I'll just be here for the next half hour and we can hang out or you guys can get your lunch.